Father, we thank you for tonight. And we thank you for the gathering of your people like this. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we are gathered before you, waiting and expecting to be mightily and more mightily blessed. Lay your hands upon us and bless us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone who has entered into this gathering tonight, let their lives no longer remain the same.
Amen.
I prophesy upon your life, whether it is convenient for your enemy or not, whether it is convenient for your friends or not, that this year you shall have divine acceleration. In the name of Jesus. Every power that is preventing you from being catapulted to where God wants you to be, let that power be destroyed now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
A louder amen.
Amen.
A louder amen. Before you sit down, I'd like you to be a prophet unto five persons. Turn to somebody. Say, my friend, your mouth shall be larger than the mouths of your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Say it to five persons. Say it to five persons. Your mouth shall be larger than the mouth of your enemies. Amen. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. Now I prophesy unto the life of seven persons. Say, my friend, any power challenging God in your life shall die in the name of Jesus. Say to seven persons. Now, finally, before you sit down, in this particular year, 2011, I want you to prophesy into the life of 11 persons. Amen. So I said,
my friend,
you shall be the head
and not the
tail. In the name of Jesus, prophesy to your friend. Shout hallelujah. Shout a louder hallelujah. Let's be seated. God bless you. Amen. 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 Let me say that I'm very happy to be here. And I want to thank the JCCL for inviting us to share with you on this very important thing. And for the few minutes I want to stay here, I'd like you to listen to me very carefully. Very, very carefully. Especially if you know you have the call of God upon your life, I want to fulfill that calling. And especially if you know that there is a height God wants to take you, but one way or the other, you cannot approach it or get there. So listen to me very, very carefully. Some people say experience is the best teacher. But experience is not the best teacher. Experience is normally the best teacher for a fool. You understand what I'm saying? If you say experience is the best teacher, and somebody gave you a bottle of acid, say, I want to experience what it is like to drink acid. You may not learn from that experience. So, you can learn from the word of God, learn from what those who hear God say. The Bible says all those things that were written in the Bible were written for our learning, so that we, through the comfort of scriptures, can have hope. This night, just for a few minutes, let me talk to you about the ancient landmark. The ancient landmark. What did I say? In Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. The ancient landmark. I know there will be somebody tonight. By the time we finish from here, you will have fire in your mouth. And the fire shall catapult your destiny. Proverbs 22:28. He says this. Are we there, everybody? Can we read it together? Let's go. Very simple scripture. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy father have set. If you ask me a question and you say, I should summarize in one word the problem of Christianity today, I will say it is the removal of the ancient landmark. And that is why we do not have a revival. Because we remove the ancient landmark. It is when the ancient landmark is removed that the wall is broken. And then all kinds of lizards, serpents, snakes can move in and trouble people's destiny and trouble people's life. I pray that the Lord will revive you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I come from a very poor home. Very poor home. We were so poor that my school fees to the University of Lagos, when I gained admission here many years ago, which was 60 naira, my parents could not afford it. They had to borrow that school fees. I finished up at Methodist Boys High School, Lagos. A school founded in 1887. How many people were born here in 1887? Right. And in that school, I started trying my best. And God helped me in that school. By the time I left the school in 75, I was the best student. I had what in those days they call grade one distinction. Got out. Came to University of Lagos here. And by the time I finished from here too, I had a first class. I don't know whether anybody has beaten that record now. I've offered a trophy and a prize for whoever will beat that record. I've been talking to the leaders, vice chancellor, please let me know. If somebody gets this, I will offer this, offer that, offer this. Then, when I finished from there, and I went to England, where I studied molecular biology. Molecular biology is biology at the molecular level. it's the hardest biology. So somebody who studied molecular biology, molecular genetics, genetic engineering, you will expect the person to come and say, hey, it's no God. No God. All these things, they are superstitions. But I want to tell you, they are not superstitions. And God still has his way in the wind and in the whirlwind. So no matter what you fill your head with, whether it's plant physiology, oral English, sociology of this, of that, psychology of this, that, that, all those things, eventually at the end of the day, they don't get you anywhere. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. All those things that I studied, everything that I studied, whether it's clinical, biochemistry, molecular genetics, this biophysiology, that, this, that, that, studies, so many things in my life, they did not change my life. It was Jesus that changed my life. If I stand there tonight and I say, in the name of molecular biology, be healed, nothing happens. The demons will even eat me up for insulting them. I want you to understand this well. So this is why tonight's meeting, take it as a special meeting. A good thing they put it in January. So when you collect the fire, you use that fire to go through this dangerous year. Because it is a dangerous year, I tell you. It is a very, very dangerous year. You can see what is happening in the news already. Just as I was about leaving home now, there was news that in Brazil, flood went to somewhere, mud moved, and 360 people dead. Just like that, water, mud, killing 360 people in this modern world. So, it's a dangerous year. You need fire to see you through. And you shall collect that fire in Jesus' name. I say you shall collect the fire. You shall collect the fire in the name of Jesus. A long time ago, there was this secondary school. Secondary school was surrounded by a tall wall with an iron gate, with barbed wire and bottles arranged on top of that iron gate, just to keep the students from going out anyhow. But in spite of the wall surrounding the school and that iron gate and the bottles and the barbed wire, boys still sneak out at night to go to parties and come back to school. Well, if you went out at night and you wanted to come back inside, there are only two routes to the school. Route number one, you either climb that high gate, jump down, run across the field into the dormitory. Now the gate is very high. A lot of boys climb that high gate, the barbed wire hook their clothes and they broke their legs. Some barbed wire tore their faces. But there is another route, slightly more dangerous than that gate. That route is a low wall at the back of the principal's house. Amen. So, if you went out at night and you don't want to pass, you don't want to climb the high gate, you jump that low wall at the back of the principal's house, you enter the corridor of the principal's house. Then you run out through the front and run to your dormitory. That is the second route. There was a boy called Jones. Jones went to a party at night. When Jones was coming back, Jones had decided that he was not going to climb that tall gate. So he went through the principal's route. That was around 1 a.m. So Jones jumped the low wall, all right, no problem. Jones ran into the principal's corridor. Unfortunately, when Jones got to the corridor, the principal was sitting down there reading a book. When Jones saw that the principal was there reading a book, he dived under the bed. 1 a.m., he dived under the bed. Mosquitoes were biting him. He could not slap himself or kill the mosquitoes because of the fear of attracting the attention of the principal. 2 o'clock, Jones was under the bed. The principal was still reading. 3 o'clock, Jones was still under the bed. The principal was still reading. 4 o'clock, Jones was still under that bed. The principal was still reading. At 5 o'clock, the principal packed his books from the table. He stood up and he said, "Jones, anytime you are ready, to get out from under the bed, report in my office. So here was Jones trying to hide, not knowing that they had seen him. There are many Joneses here tonight who are hiding, masquerading under fellowship songs, masquerading under I'm this, I'm that, masquerading under I'm executive officer, I'm a chorister. But you know inside that it's a lie. This is a night where you cannot afford to be insincere with the Almighty, so that you can climb the kind of mountain God wants you to climb. Don't just take things as they are. Some people always say you need to change, because without change there is no progress. So you need to change. You change your life. Say, ah, change my life. Ah, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. The problem is general. I am not alone. So it's not only me now. There are plenty of us doing it. Why are you asking me to change? Change is what brings progress. But a lot of people hate changes like no man's business. Some people, if they just increase their prayer temperature by 30 minutes, their life will change completely. Some people, they just increase their Bible reading by let's say 20 minutes more. Their total life will change. That's what I want you to realize. Change forever. It will change completely. I was in our church many years ago. Please listen to me carefully. That's why I say listen to me carefully tonight. One church I was many years ago. This happened there. Saturday night, I prayed. As I was about to sleep, I started praying. As I finished praying, I saw a vision. In the vision, I found myself surrounded by people wearing black clothes. Black clothes. There was a professor in this university who was standing beside me in that revelation. The people who wore black clothes, they wanted to catch the professor. But because I was standing by his side, they couldn't touch him. So they were discussing, this man is preventing us from catching this man. What do we do? It's okay, let's remove the man protecting him. So they started discussing who is going to face him. First person said, no, no, no. They all refused. Until one short woman said, yes. So in that revelation, this short woman wearing black came towards me. As she was approaching me, an angel of God stood by my side. And the angel was holding a sword. So immediately the woman came, the angel gave me the sword. I said, what do you want? So I've come to remove you so we can attack this man. I used the sword in my hand to try and cut off her head. She dodged it. I said, hey. She dodged. There are powers and there are powers. There are spirits and there are spirits. There are demons, there are demons. All the academic demons you are facing there, they are literate demons. Literate demons. When you go out, you find illiterate and chronic, raw, uncivilized demons. Outside. This campus, this BBC demons are not demons. She dodged it. When she dodged it, I said, oh Lord, what should I do now? The Lord said, son, give her a blow in the chest. So I landed a blow, boom, on her chest. She fell on the floor. The other one scattered, and the revelation cleared. I did not understand it. What kind of dream is it? What kind of revelation is this? That was a Saturday night. On Tuesday night, we finished our Bible study. Finished our Bible study. There was no mountain of fire that time. It was not mountain of fire. We finished our Bible study. And I was doing counseling. Then a woman came for counseling. The woman said, man of God, as you are looking at me, I have 201 incisions on my head. As you are looking at me, that she had lost the first husband, the second husband, the third husband. Ah, you have three husbands dead. I said, sorry, ma'am. I said, but what brought me here today, sir? It's because last Saturday was the wedding of my son. I said, but at that reception, the bride fainted and was rushed to the hospital. You lost three husbands. You have so much trouble. There are 201 incisions on your head. Then marriage again. The bride fainted at the reception. The bride is still on admission in the hospital. I said, what kind of trouble is this? So I said, madam, please come back next time. Give me time to pray. so I will know how to help you. She said, okay, I will come back next Tuesday. I said, let us pray. So I held her hand. I just wanted to pray a short prayer. God bless her. She go, I cover her with the blood of Jesus. But as I pray, the Holy Ghost said, continue. I pray for 1 minute, said, continue. 2 minutes, continue. After 5 minutes of prayer, a force came to where we were praying, took this woman away from my hand, lifted her high, and threw her away from me. Threw her right to the back of the church. The distance was farther than this. Threw her there. She flew in the air to that place and landed on her back. I've never seen that before. So I was a bit puzzled. So I ran there. I was looking at her on the floor. Then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, son, look at this face. Look at this face very well. I looked. Said, don't you remember this face? All of a sudden, it clicked. It was the short woman that I saw in my revelation on Saturday night. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, give her a blow in the chest. I gave the blow. And then in my life, I had the worst witchcraft confession I've ever had. She was the one who killed the 3 husbands. She was the one causing all the trouble. She was the one that attacked the bride. Although it was her son getting married, she was the one that was doing everything. So I now shook her. I said, madam, since you know you are the one causing your problem, why are you here? Why did you come here? Why did you come to see me? He said, I just came to test you. So this is how we go about to test them. I just came to test you. Beloved, there are testing powers around. Wanting to know what stuff you are made of. And once they find that you are not strong, they pull you down. I pray that you not be pulled down in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The church is just like Noah's ark. If not for the fact that there is death outside, the inside is stinking. We preach, but many of the preachers even don't follow what they are preaching. So what we need in the house of God now is not a cosmetician, it's not a beautician. What we need is a surgeon. Somebody will put knife and cut this away, cut that away, cut that away, cut that away. And if in your own generation, you don't collect enough fire to move the purposes of God forward, I feel sorry for the generation that is coming now. God is relying on many of you here to turn things around, to change things. But if you don't start well, and you don't know what to do, you're already operating with a broken wall, then you cannot move the purposes of God forward. Somebody may be prophesying upon your head and say, well, as I'm looking at you right now, I prophesy upon your life that you are going to fly high. You are going to be the highest. You're going to be high. You're going to be the highest. And you're saying amen, amen, amen. But you're saying amen. Somebody is saying you are flying high. You are saying amen, but your leg is broken. Instead of them to say, let me fix my broken leg, then I can go high. Sadly, and very, very sadly, we pray things that we do not mean. And we say things that we're not really supposed to be saying as Christians. We are fighting ourselves as children in the marketplace. We've had conventions, plenty congresses, plenty seminars, plenty talk shows, plenty chatting, plenty Christian Facebook, plenty blogging, but no revival. Many of you here, you have never seen a revival before. The last time there was a revival in this country was 1930. The revival of the Apostle Joseph Ayo Babalola. Joseph Ayo Babalola started his calling at the age of 26. God called him at the age of 26. That man turned this country upside down for Jesus. That's what we call revival. People remove sick people from hospital and rush them to his crusade. That's revival. The man went to evil forest, chased out all the demons in evil forest. The man punished evil spirits, dealt with them, discomfited them, disgraced them, pulled them down, and laughed them to scorn. That man. because of the power of God that was in his life. The great apostle was at Elisha doing a crusade. When he found that the crowd was so much, he prayed on the river in town. There is a river in that town called Oji. He prayed on that river. Anyone who drank from that river got healed. Anyone. Beloved, in 1930, there was so much crowd, they drank the river dry. They drank that river dry. When River Oye was now dry, they were squeezing the mud to get tiny water out. This is water that has been declared to have Dranunculus medinensis, guinea worm. Guinea worm is Dranunculus medinensis. The people drank it. Guinea worm did not kill anybody. Rather, they got healed at the age of 26. 26. It turned things upside down for Jesus. Many of you have been Christians for years now. Christians for 10 years, 5 years, 6 years. The question tonight is this. What have you done for the Lord so far? If heaven was to mark your script now, what mark do you think he will score? If heaven was to come and say, okay, it's enough, come, what would they write that you have done? I want you to understand what I'm saying now very well. So that was the last revival in this country. Last one. So this generation, they have never seen one revival. Unless we do something, you may never see a revival before you die. When there is revival, people rush there. Whatever religion they have, they rush there. The great apostle destroyed all kinds of occult things. They burnt, you burnt all kinds of things, burnt terrible things that people were using to attack each other, burnt them. There was a particular woman who came to his crusade. The woman had a powerful juju waistband. The man of God removed the waistband of the woman and threw the waistband into the fire. The waistband jumped out of the fire and said, Ajike, this is not our covenant. You didn't say you are going to separate from me like this. The man of God took the talking waistband again and threw it back into the fire. The thing jumped out the second time. I said, Ajike, okay. If this is how we're going to separate, can you bring my pot? Ajike said, yes, I will bring your pot. I'll bring your pot. Now you are here now. University of Lagos Chapel. Supposing somebody's beret falls down. Where you are sitting now. And the beret begins to talk. I have a good idea of what will happen here. There will be pandemonium. There will be pandemonium. That's the truth. I was at a prayer meeting some time ago, and as the prayer was going on, somebody at the back screamed and said, hey, Mowa Meje, that I've come to drink blood. That row. That row scattered. Everybody ran away. Unfortunately, the campuses, our campuses, they have become, number one, the arena of cultism and the occult. Unfortunately, the arena of cultism and the occult. That's the campus. It's a lamentable tragedy. And this is what our campus had become. In those days, it didn't used to be so. The walls were not broken then. So bad. Onika here, I was in my office. Two people came. Two students. Students. They came. One said, man said he needed me to give them money. I said, money for what? Said, well, the bottom line is that they were cult people. This fellow was the president, this one the secretary. Say money for what? Say money to help our cause. Which cause? This, that, I said, I'm sorry. I don't give money to those kind of purposes. And I said, okay, if you don't give money, if you cannot give us your church money, we hear that you sell books. Can you give us money from your book? I said, no. Okay. So they stood up. And one of them said, since you are not giving us anything, can you pray for us? And it was a holy mistake, that prayer. As I laid my hands on the president, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, he began to pull his trousers. See, the trouser could not pull on time. He began to tear the trousers. I was surprised. He tore the trousers away. Beloved, for the first time in my life, when I will look at why he was tearing his trousers, he has removed his pants, his penis, the head of his penis was a serpent. And there was a tiny tongue there coming out like this. A penis. The head had become a serpent. The prayer made it to manifest. He now began to battle with that penis. In my office, he scattered the whole place. So I grabbed the anointing oil, anointed the penis. It became normal. We had to get trousers for him from somewhere else. When the secretary saw what happened, said, if this could happen to president, pray for me too. I now asked this president some questions. You are a student to university? I said, yes. You practice occultism? I said, yes, we told you. It's okay. How many ladies have you slept with in the campus? Said, do you mean at the last count? So, within the last 2 or 3 months, about 21. Now, when this man with a serpentine penis is sleeping with a lady they've sent to the campus to come and read, they pollute their lives. Later, when they leave the university, all kinds of gynecological problems and all kinds of other troubles. The campus had become an arena of cultism and the occult. It is because we do not have enough fire to quench it. 1995, 3 birds flew across our headquarters there. As the 3 birds were flying, the prayer warriors were doing night vigil in the church. They pointed to the birds and said, receive fire in the name of Jesus. One of the birds fell down and became an old woman. They came to call me from the house to come and see this bird that has become an old woman. And I got there. I said, Mama, what are you doing here? They said, actually, we didn't know they were praying here. If we knew they were praying here, we would have taken another route. That we were not sent to this church. They sent us to University of Lagos. It's not this place. University of Lagos sent us. So, but however, that is where we find ourselves. And I said, Mama, since you have now seen that a power greater than you made you to crash land, will you surrender your life to Jesus? She said, God forbid. Those are the kind of powers that are operating. 2, the campus has become a paradise of seductive marine powers. Paradise of seductive marine powers. A lot of marine powers have infiltrated the campus and they are pulling down potential men of God. People who have destinies. Many young men are falling into their trap and they are not getting out yet. 3, the campus has become a conglomeration of diverse international demons. All put together from all kinds of places. 4, the campuses have become a synagogue for fetish lecturers. Plenty of our lecturers are completely fetish. They are actually small babalawos. I'm telling you the truth now. There are lecturers who carry sacrifices, who even put fetish power at the doormat of other lecturers in the campuses. 5, the campus has become an incubator and a training ground for sophisticated prostitution. A lot of high-class prostitutes are in the campus. Over the weekend, useless men drive here to the campus, take girls away for the weekend, return them, give them money. Those girls do not understand that they are selling their virtues away. It is better to die in poverty than to use your body for money. This is a bane of our campuses. Six, the campus has become a citadel of twisted logic. Logic that does not make sense. Twisted logic. The other time we heard UNILAC praise here, and there was trouble in the University of Lagos. The Vice Chancellor invited us. We came to pray. God intervened. The first time I came here to talk, one lecturer somewhere went to the newspaper, published everything I said, and called it Tales in the Moonlight. I smiled. Because he has just gotten the PhD, so he wanted to display it. We have gotten our own PhD before he left secondary school. Or before he left primary school. He's now talking. He studied one subject somewhere. I'm a scientist. We scientists don't talk useless grammar. Science is not politics. In science, 1 + 1 = 2. Hydrogen plus oxygen is water. If you write around that, you get 0. But in law, literature, you can say argue, politics. No, it's not so. If you bend the hydrogen a little bit and put the water a little bit, so science, the answer is straightforward. We look at things dispassionately, no passion. No matter where you come from in the world, if you come to a science conference and you are talking rubbish, they will tear you down. Not minding who you are. The campus, number 7, has become a place where sex supersedes hard work. And there are plenty of lecturers who are ready to sleep with people to give them marks. The campus, number 8, has become a place of spirit students who are not really human beings. This may amaze you, but there are people amongst you. You think they are humans. They're not. They're not. We know we are close to this campus. It is us. They bring some of these problems to when it happens. As one young man last year, just went to the lagoon front, found one woman there. Didn't know where the woman came from. He started chatting. The next thing, he started sleeping with a woman he had never met in his life. By the time they brought him to us, his penis had become permanently straight. Like that. So he could not wear normal pants again. He had to be wearing boo-boo kind of... And he was walking in great pain. Great pain. And he did not tell his parents who live in VI what he did. Until they dragged him for prayers. And I asked his parents to go out. Who did you sleep with? Say, sir, let go from you. I'm praying for somebody here. Any power that has followed you to this campus, that does not want you to prosper here, that wants to downgrade your calling and dismiss the agenda of God for your life, that power shall die. It 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 shall die. In the name of Jesus. The campus, unfortunately, number 9, has become an ocean of entertainment fellowships. Fellowships who just entertain with no fire. Fellowships without fire. Entertainment. Right? Entertainment. We just come there to entertain ourselves and you go. Jesus did not die so that we can entertain ourselves. He came for real business. Real business. And because we have plenty of entertainment going on, not much of prayer, not much of the word of God, the enemy is just doing what he wants to do. 10. The campus has become a house of modern day witchcraft. The witchcraft has been repackaged to suit the taste of modern day people. Right. 11. The campus, unfortunately, is a fighter ground for pornography. All kinds of people go into the net every night. Pornography. Naked women. Naked men. Thereby polluting their minds and disgracing their destiny. 12. The campus has become a place of sexual addict lecturers. If you don't sleep with me, you fail. If you don't sleep with me, you fail. Plenty of lecturers like that. I pray that the Lord will flush them out of the universities. If you know them, tell them I said so. 13. The campus has become a practice ground for drug addiction. Drugs. Plenty of drugs in the campus. People take drugs. Hard drugs. Marijuana. Heroin. Cocaine. All kinds of things. LSD in the campus. LSD. Everything. Here. Sniffing of glue. Campus. This is where some people pick up those things which they never knew before in their lives. 14. The campus has become a synagogue of intelligent, academic, and sophisticated sinners. The intelligent sinner, the academic sinner, committing sin academically, sophisticated sin. 15. The campus has become a place of high voltage internet pollution. 16. The campus has become a cemetery of destinies. Those who come with high hopes, they get polluted, their lives go down. Go down. 17. The campus has become a home for destructive music. Music that destroys the mind, that destroys people, that causes all kinds of trouble. 18. The campus has become a library of destructive books. There are terrible books that people read. Even while I was a student here, there were some students who were reading terrible books. I used to have one of them in our class. Anytime we're in the lecture room, he doesn't take notes. He doesn't listen to lecturers. He just be looking at everybody like this. If he said, won't you read? Won't you take notes? He said, no, I read my book in the water. You read inside the water? Say yes. Say it's better to read inside the water. But when the final exam came, not the kind of exam you take now, when they say this first semester, second semester, those days, it was almighty formula. Everything you have studied together, they will examine it once at the end of the year. Not this semester, that semester. No. When the final exam came, the boy got to the first examination, the first exam hall that day, they all were taking the first examination and he couldn't write anything. He was like a madman. The powers he was consulting had made him mad. The campus, 19, has become a breeding ground for sophisticated criminals. Criminals. Plenty arm robbers who are students, but they know where they go at night. 20. The campus has become a city of sadists. Sadists. There's some there, sadists. They don't like people to succeed and they don't want people to succeed. And finally, it's become a jamboree of wasted destinies. I do not want you to be wasted. And I do not want the power of God to depart from your life. And I do not want you to operate with a broken wall where the enemy can come in and do anything to you. That's why I came here tonight. All kinds of things are happening around us. You can see the level of pollution, the level of terrible things that are happening, both inside the campus, outside the campus. And it bothered me. It bothered me exceedingly. That was the time it bothered me so much, I had to ask the Lord, say, Lord, is this how we're going to be watching these things? What are we going to do? He said, son, there is no solution unless my people go back primitive Christianity. What did I say?
Primitive
Christianity. Because all these things that are down, who are the Christians who want to address them now? Is it where we have Christians who go to parties and dance all night? Are those the ones who will confront the evil? Is it where we have Christians who are not happy that God made them black people, they are changing their colors? Is it where we have Christians whose fingernails are like vultures? Is it where we have Christians who dress as if they are from the pit? Is it where we have Christians who abort, who practice all kinds of fornication and all kinds of terrible sin? Are those the ones who will address this evil? Is this where we have men who are palming their ears? Is it where we have people who can only say, anointing, follow me, but when they get to their bed, spirit husband will say, here I come. We press them down very well and mess them up completely. Are those the kind of people who will cope with what is happening? Is it where people don't like people who try to correct them? Say, don't do this, don't do that. Say, I don't like this place. Do some don't. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Christianity is a religion of thou shall not. Don't do this, don't do that. A lot of people like liberty. And the liberty we're having is liberty for destruction. Liberty for destruction. Unfortunately, many pastors, many churches are not helping things at all. So they just leave people to do whatever they want. Say, anywhere, anyhow you like, any way you like, just come. God will accept you. It's a terrible thing. Why do you think people are afraid of Muslims now? They are afraid because they can sacrifice. Sacrifice. He doesn't mind tying a bomb on himself and blowing himself up because of what he believes. But Christians are not ready to sacrifice. So people respect Muslims a lot, even more than Christians anywhere. Some things they say to Christianity, they don't say to the Muslims because they know the reaction will be terrible. Right? But we who are not disciplined. My wife brought a magazine home. It was a wedding magazine. And I was looking at it. The first section was Christian wedding. Last section was Islamic wedding. I was looking at the Christian ones. Ha. Dangerous dresses. Dresses where the breast has been pushed up. Then they apply special pomade on top of that breast so that it will be shining. Dresses where sometimes when they are signing wedding register, the breast will jump out. And this priest, whatever priest are marrying them, do not say, go and dress properly. Maybe the priest enjoy seeing that mini pornography. I was opening it. When I now got to the Islamic section, I found the Islamic ladies trying to get wedded thoroughly wrapped up. No breast exposed, nothing exposed. And we claim that we want the power, we want the fire. No, doesn't work like that. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It says, a highway shall be there and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unrighteous shall not move therein. Say, the wayfarers, though fools, will not err therein. Those who are walking there, they are peculiar people. People will call them fools. They will laugh at them. But they say they will not make mistakes. If your Christianity has not pushed you to a level where somebody looks at you and says you are a fanatic, you have not started. And you have not started. When you start, they will accuse you. When you preach the right message, they will accuse you. When you live the right life, people will be against you. If they are leaving you alone, it means you and the devil, you are going towards the same direction. But immediately you begin to go opposite the devil, there will be a collision somewhere. And once the collision starts, then you know that you have a battle to fight. I'm praying for somebody here tonight that the Lord of hosts will minister to your heart. One man came to, I'm about to round up now because we need to go and pray. One man came to Mountain of Fire. He said he came for a deliverance. But really, he didn't come for a deliverance. He wanted to do business. So he came there. At the deliverance ground, he didn't pray at all. He was just writing down everything they were saying. All the sermons, he wrote it down. All the scriptures, he wrote it down. All the papers, he collected them. He was not praying at all. And that's what he did for 1 week. After 1 week, he opened his own church and said, Center of Deliverance. And he was charging 200 naira for those coming for deliverance prayers. And he was making money. He was very smart. You know, there are people with problems, so they will go there because of problems. People were going. And he was smiling home with a lot of money. Until one day, as he wanted to start deliverance, there was a beautiful lady that came for the deliverance. So he just was practicing what he learned and was reading what he had written down. This beautiful lady came for deliverance, so he started praying for them one by one. He laid hands on this beautiful lady. All of a sudden, the face of the lady changed and said, What? What an insult. You lay your hands on the head of the wife of Lucifer? By the wife of Lucifer. When I went to that place, I didn't hear anybody saying this. What should I do now? So he was a very clever man. He ran to his office, brought the woman's 200 naira. Say, madam, you see? So take your 200 naira and go. I said, I'm not going anywhere. You are finished. Within 3 days, we had buried the man. He was dead. You don't play games with God. You have to be serious with the Almighty. There is only one key to mend the broken wall. There is only one key for you to key yourself into what God wants you to do. That key is what the Bible calls brokenness. Brokenness. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34 verse 18. Look at that psalm. Psalm 34, 18. Psalm 34, 18 says, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. The key is brokenness. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when it falls to the ground and it's broken, then it brings out much fruit. Brokenness means when God says sit down, you sit down. When God says stand up, you stand up. When God says don't go, you don't go. When God says keep quiet, you keep quiet. When God says don't eat, you don't eat. You are 100% obedient to the master. Brokenness is when you are holy within and without. Brokenness is when your greatest desire is to make heaven. You're not interested in all these mundane things that people are doing. Brokenness is for you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other things shall be added unto you. Brokenness is for God to become your friend. You become God's favorite person. That is, when they say temptation, sin, all those things, you run away. You don't practice it and then start going for deliverance later. You don't practice it and say, well, I will do it, then ask for forgiveness. No, no, no. Brokenness is you saying no to the enemy when the enemy comes. I was in the campus crusade many years back. Powerful praise worship. Wonderful atmosphere. And they gave me the microphone, just like they gave me the microphone today. All of a sudden, before I could start speaking, there was a prophecy in the midst. Said, thus saith the Lord. There is somebody here. Both of you are leaders here, and you have just finished committing fornication. If you don't come out to the altar so that my son, who is going to minister to you tonight, prays for you, both of you will die in 7 days. There was acidic silence. All the body that was hot before cooled down. Especially when he said they shall die in 7 days. What kind of wala is this now? So, And I said, well, if you are the person, come out too, because I don't want to bury any of you. We waited. After some time, I saw one man crawling to the front. Then his sister followed him too. And he got to me. And I said, bro, brother, what happened? Then he said something that shocked me. He said, maybe because it's a campus. He said, I was forced to do it. You were forced to commit fornication. Who forced you? Are you saying the woman raped you? So I was forced, sir. Don't masquerade tonight. Use tonight to clear your table so that the Lord can plant materials into your life that will move you forward. If you know worldliness is in your heart is not stable. You are still living in cleverly concealed sin. That is why the world is broken. But once brokenness comes into us, power flows into us, then we're able to make a difference in the campus. We're able to make a difference in our generation. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. All eyes closed. It's a very serious night in this place. And I don't want you to lose at all in everything we're doing here. I want you to be honest with God so that God too can be merciful unto you. The Bible says, whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. But if you confess and forsake that sin, you shall have mercy. You shall prosper. All eyes closed. Our time is fast gone and we don't have plenty of times. And we need time to pray some serious prayers. We need time to pray down the power of God into our lives. But you see, if you are in this meeting tonight and you are not even born again, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to help you so that you can key into the power of God that is about to fall down here. Wherever you are, I'm only going to count up to 10. Once I count up to 10 and you're not here, I agree that you don't want to surrender your life to Jesus and you don't want a change in your situation. But if you're here tonight, say, man of God, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want a change. I can't continue this year like this. I don't want 2011 to be like this. Just leave that seat, run quickly to the altar here. Immediately I finish counting 10, I believe you don't want to come. So we go on with our service and the prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
and trust him in
8,
his presence
daily. 9. If you are at the altar, please stand on your feet, please. Stand on your feet. God bless you. Stand on your feet. You've taken the most important decision in life. And I want to really, really congratulate you. Just close your eyes, bow down your head, say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. I know that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from today, I'll say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. And I thank you for this important decision you've taken. I pray, oh Lord, that this decision will be permanent in their lives. uphold them by your power. Lay your hands upon their lives. Lord, as from today, write their names in the book of life. Let them move from strength to strength and from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. By the counselors of us, we're here to help them. God bless you. It's here to help them. Why is it? Look at this fellow. Look at him. Over there. Just go quietly to him. Just for 1 minute, 1 or 2 minutes. I'll join us later. God bless us to follow. God bless you.
I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad. I belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. I'm so glad. We belong to you. We belong to Jesus. I'm glad. I belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Him. We are so glad. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus.
Amen. Right there where we are tonight. Thank you. Right there where we are tonight. If you are in this meeting, you know that you are actually a backslider. You are falling far away from God. You know that you are living a life of cleverly concealed sin. A life that does not glorify the Lord. Quietly find a way to this altar too. And be on your knees. There is no point in deceiving oneself in a place like this. You know, you have been struggling with some terrible habits, which seem to have refused to go away. And you want to be set free. It would be a shame if you do not allow heaven to touch you here tonight. You know yourself. You know very well. You know you are not really there. You know, you just say, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that. But you know in your heart, deep inside, you are fighting secret battles. You don't even know. You know that if the trumpet should sound today, that you are not going anywhere. You know, nobody has to deceive you. Please, this is the time. Just get on your knees where you are. Get on your knees where you are and bow down your heads. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. Tell Him you want to go back to Him. You've gone far away from Him. And that's why good things sometimes are running away from you. Ask Him to forgive you. Amen. Those of us on our knees, can you say this after me? Say, Father, I come before you now. I know that you care for me. I know that you sent your son to die for me. I know that I have not been my best for you. I need help. Father, I ask for mercy. I know you are not happy with me. But I want to see your face. I want your favor. Father, any area in which I've dissatisfied heaven, Father, by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive me. Make me whole. Make me whole. Lay your hands upon me. Refresh me. Re-anoint me. Refresh me, re-anoint me, 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 refresh me, re-anoint me. The old serpent. Satan. We no longer have a hold upon my life. As from tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for your children here at the altar. Father, I thank you because I know you brought them to this program in order to repair the broken edge and to help their individual lives. I pray, oh Lord, that you will lay your hands upon them in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will renew your stand in the name of Jesus. Every blessing you have lost, every grace you have forfeited, every virtue that you have lost, beginning from tonight, repossess them in the name of Jesus. Be re-anointed. Be refreshed. Thank you, Lord. Now make a covenant with the Lord where you are, that you will not go back. You continue to go forward. Tell the Lord, I will not go back. I will continue to move forward. Tell the Lord. There are people here that God wants to use. You are at the altar here. God really, really wants to use you. But the enemy has been battling you. Tonight is the night of deliverance for you. Tonight is a night of deliverance for you. Make a vow that you will not go back to the enemy. Amen. You may go back to your seat now. You may go back to your seat now. Take my life. And let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow. He sees them. Sing it again, Lord, and Lord, take my life.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to
take my moments and my days. Prayers I want you to pray before you leave this place. The first prayer is for God to break you down and remold you into what He wants you to become. Amen. There was a man of God who went to the mountain and he prayed this prayer for 7 days. Lord, break me. Lord, break me. Lord, change me so that I can change others. By the time he finished, he changed his generation for Jesus. Can you shout this loud and clear? Let your voice be louder than anyone next to you. If the voice of the person next to you is louder than yours, then you are not praying. Say, oh God, Allah! Break me! In the name of Jesus! Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Oh God, arise and break me. Break me, break me. Break me in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, open your mouth. That's why you are here. Break me, break me, break me. Something is happening now. Something is happening now. In Jesus' name we pray. have just started warming up. Because there is a big cloud of God's power here. It is your prayer that will break the cloud into rain to fall upon you. Let me tell you something. As you are praying this prayer, please concentrate. Concentrate. As you are praying this prayer, the anointing will all of a sudden fall upon you. And once it falls upon you, you find that as from tonight, your life no longer remains the same. Oh God! Oh Lord! Break me! In the name of Jesus! Break me! Continue, 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 continue. Jesus is here. His power is in this place. Aha, 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 aha. Thou power of God, in the name of Jesus, move, 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 move. Aha, aha, aha. Demons were breaking. Open your mouth, 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 open your mouth. Receive the power. Receive the power. Receive it. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. You see now, the power of God is moving. Going from person to person. Someone already feeling it. That's right. That's the power coming upon you. Yes. Yes, the power of God is moving, 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 moving. Moving. That's the power. That's the power. Yes, receive it. I want the fire that is fresh. I want the fire that is fresh. All fire cannot do. I want the fire that is fresh. Fire that is fresh. I want the fire that is fresh. All fire cannot do. I want the fire. I want the fire. I want the fire that is fresh. I want the fire that is fresh. All fire cannot do. I want the fire that is fresh. Sing it loud!
I want the fire that is fresh. I want the fire that is fresh.
All fire cannot do.
All fire cannot do. I want the fire
that is fresh.
I want the fire that is fresh.
That is fresh.
I want the fire.
All fire cannot do.
All fire.
The fire is falling. The fire is falling. The fire is falling. The fire is falling. Insulted. Amen. Someone told Elijah, man of God, come down. Say, if I be a man of God, let fire come down. Fire! That cannot be insulted. Fall upon me now. In the name of Jesus.